Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I've had an interesting series of jobs in my life, several of which I was underqualified for. My first job was picking grapes for a winery. I grew up in a little town called Hammondsport, New York. I mean, it's little. If you ever go to visit Hammondsport, my house is the one on the left. And the town is filled with wineries. My house was surrounded by wineries, and so I got paid to pick grapes and give them to a winery. It's kind of a starter job to get you moving towards a career in moonshining, basically. But throughout high school, I stocked shelves at a grocery store. In college, I worked at a movie theater and at a law library. I was briefly a taste tester for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which was the best job ever. I did an internship in Louisville, Kentucky, and that year I would go and they would pay you $8 at lunchtime to eat chicken and try new products. So like I tasted Kentucky Fried Chicken's chicken pot pie before you ever dreamed that they would have a chicken pot pie. By the way, if that ever becomes like a full-time job, I am like leaving this whole pastor thing behind immediately. I'm just saying. For 20 of the past 21 years, I've been a pastor. The one year that I didn't really have a church to pastor, I did comedy in a stand-up comedy show in Las Vegas here in a casino. Don't be too impressed. My first paycheck was for under $10. Yeah. But there's been one job that I have done consistently for all of those years, despite the fact that I was woefully underqualified for it. Oddly, I was not offered the position. I just fired the person doing it and took over. The job? God. Don't laugh because you fired God and taken his job as well. And we're going to talk about it today, but first we need to get into our movie, Jurassic World, the first movie in this year's I Want a Movie Life series. Now, back in the 90s when I watched the first three, and then even this year when I watched the new one, to me, they were just fun movies. I mean, who doesn't like watching dinosaurs eat people? That's good stuff, right? But whenever we do a movie series, I always kind of like do my research on the movie. I read what people have been writing about it. What did the reviewers say about it? And reading all that, there were some questions that people wrestled with all these movies. So like back when the first movies came out in the early 90s, people were asking the question, could it happen? Could it really happen? Could scientists do that? Could it really happen? But then there was a bigger question that people were asking, which was, should it happen? Even if it could, should it? And those two questions, especially the second question, are definitely themes in all of the Jurassic movies. Is it a good idea for scientists, or really for anyone, to kind of fire God, take his position, and start playing God? Like in the first movie, there's this 1993's Jurassic Park, there's this genius mathematician played by Jeff Goldblum, and he says, yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should. The issue he was trying to get them to see is, like, do we really have the kind of control we think we do? Because those scientists assumed that they could control everything, but could they? Should we play God? Is firing God and taking his spot really the best decision? Later in that movie, Jeff Goldblum's character, he's trying to explain the core of the problem to some people, and he says, God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs. And then the new movie, Jurassic World, jumps immediately back into those same exact themes. So like the opening scene, if you've seen it, it is of an egg. And we see this claw starting to break out of the egg. And we realize it's a dinosaur. It takes place in a room that's called the Creation Lab. One of the scientists explains that this baby dinosaur was not the result of breeding, but that they designed it. And it becomes very clear that, once again, these scientists have basically just fired God and taken his place, and they're kind of playing God. throughout the movie, there are lines like, you know, you're never really in control. Now, the park operations manager is named Claire Deering, and she dresses in all white. She is sharp, professional, and seemingly in complete control, except we quickly realize that she is not. She's not in control as much as she thinks she is of her own life. She's not in control of the safety of the park's guests like she thinks she is, and she is definitely not in control of the dinosaurs. Her control, it's really an illusion. The head of park security is this arrogant guy named Hoskins, and he has the secret plan that he's going to use the raptors for military purposes, that he's going to train them and use them to kill America's enemies, and he's just a jerk, right? Like, you watch the movie, and he's the guy who makes you want to start chanting, "Eat him first, eat him first," right? Like that guy. Chris Pratt's character, kind of the star of the movie, Owen Grady, he seems to be the only one in this movie who realizes that playing God maybe just isn't going to work, that their control over this world that they've created is not going to last at all. And he tries to be a voice of reason, but no one listens to him. And so he kind of has that role that Jeff Goldblum's character had in the first three movies. Back in one of those movies, people are trying to convince Jeff Goldblum that, you don't understand, we've got this figured out. We have control over the dinosaurs. We have control over the park we've created. And he responds, yeah, that's always how it starts. But then there's running and screaming. And that's exactly what happens in the new one, Jurassic World, right? Control, which seemed like in control, is lost, and havoc and mayhem ensue, and there is lots of running and screaming, which is fun for us to watch, but not for the people running and screaming. So, can I say something that I'm sure is going to sound silly to you at first, okay? I admit it, I realize it, all right? So, I believe that the problem that the scientists and the Jurassic World operators had in the movie is the problem that humanity has had from the very beginning. It's your problem, and it's my problem. It's actually the source of all of your problems and all of my problems. So what's this problem? Well, it's what I mentioned earlier. It's that we have fired God. See, God has like a job description. I'm guessing God's not the anal type who makes sure everyone has a proper job description. But if he did, his job description might look kind of like this. It might say, God, job description, responsibilities, rule over the world, rule over each person's life, be the perfect heavenly parent of each person, reports to no one. All right, and you and I have a job. And I don't know that there's a job description somewhere, but if there was, our job might be like this. Me, job responsibilities, trust God, serve God, be God's child, reports to God. Here's the problem. The problem is that every single one of us has fired God. We've kind of taken his spot. We've said, you know what? I'm not going to trust you. Like, I'm just going to rule my own world. Thank you. I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to serve me. Like, my life is not going to be about what God wants. It's going to be about what I want. And I'm not going to be your child, thanks, but like, I can take care of myself. I've got this. From the very first person to the one wearing my pants and the one wearing yours, this is all of our problems. We've all fired God. There's a verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, all have sinned. Like, no one's left out of doing this. And I wonder if maybe from God's perspective, the essence of sin is telling God to take a hike. The very essence of sin is saying, God, I've got this. I'm going to take over. I will be God, at least of my life. And like the scientists in Jurassic World, we've all done this. We're all trying to be our own God. We've all fired God. Here's the problem. We are not remotely qualified to do God's job. We just can't live up to that job description, even of our own lives. But we like to think we can, right? I mean, I will say that I am kind of like delusional like that. I think I can. And I'm guessing you're kind of delusional like me. And so we fire God, we take his spot. Now that we fired God, we have to start controlling, right? Because now I'm in charge. Like, this is my life, this is my world. And so we start controlling, right? And so I start controlling everything. So for instance, I'll start controlling my image. Well, like, if I'm going to play God, I need people to be impressed with me, right? I need you to be impressed with me. And if I can control what you see of me, then I can control what you think about me. So, for instance, you know, I do that. I try to control my image. Like, one of the things I realize I do is I try to make people think that I work harder than I do. Like, I just want them to think I'm super disciplined. I work, like, incredibly hard. And so, like, occasionally, just to see where I'm at, I will count how many hours I work in a week. And let's say the answer is 58. Well, I'll find that, like, a week or so later, I'll be in a staff meeting or I'll just be talking to a friend and I'll be like, yeah, I work too much. Like, I counted my hours and it was like 60. Well, why did I say like 60? Because it's okay to kind of, you know, estimate up? No, because I want you to be impressed with me. I want you to be like, wow, like, whew, you must start working at 5 a.m. every day. Like, that's incredible. Because if I can control your image of me, I can control what you think of me. Some years ago, it was actually the year my son was born, so it was like 16 years ago, I decided to lose weight, and I had a friend help me. I lost a lot of weight. If you're wondering, what did you look like before you started losing weight? This, because I've gained all that weight back. But I decided I need to lose some weight, and so my friend, like, you know, he kind of helped me out. And so one day, he saw me, and I had lost a lot of weight, and he said, man, you look good. What are you down to now? Well, I weighed myself that morning, so I knew exactly what my weight was, and I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth, without even thinking about it, came a number that was exactly 1 pound lighter than the truth. Why? Because I want to control his image of me. You know, I want him to look at me and go, wow, Vince is so disciplined. I mean, he's even 1 pound lighter than he looks. I guess. See, because I'm trying to be God, to play God, I can't let you know that I'm not God. Because I'm trying to fill the role, you know? And so I need to control my image. Another thing I find myself doing is I try to control other people. Like, sometimes I'll give someone a compliment, and generally there's nothing wrong with that, but once in a while I realize I think I'm giving this person a compliment because I'm hoping to get something from them. Or I'll text someone, and if they don't respond quickly enough, I'll send them a second text that says, ?? No response, a third text, ?? It's like, I will control you. You are not going to make me wait on your response. I'm God. I'm the center of the world, and you will respond to me. Check this. Not only do I control my image and other people, I actually try to control God sometimes. Like, no joke. I wish I was kidding. So, like, for instance, sometimes in the morning when I'm really busy, I'm tempted to not spend time with God. I have a routine where typically I'll pray a little bit, read the Bible a little bit, but sometimes I'm tempted not to do that because I'm busy. But usually, even when I'm tempted not to, I'll do it anyway. Want to know why? It's not because it's the right thing to do or because I just love spending time with God and I don't want to miss it. It's because I'm trying to control God. It is, because what I'm trying to do is I think I don't want him to disapprove of me, and if I do this, I can make him think better of me, and maybe he'll bless me, and so I'm going to do it even if I don't want to. What that is me trying to control God. I am a sick person. Like, I've got problems. Like really, every single day I find myself tempted to say, God, you're fired. Like, I've got this. I'm going to control my life and the world around me. I will be God. And then I just have to start controlling everything. Why? Because I'm not up to the job description. I am underqualified for that job. And so I have to work hard to try to live up to that job description. And it would be totally embarrassing for me to tell you all this, except for that you do the same thing, right? I think we all do this, right? Like, you have fired God, And you're feeling overwhelmed trying to do his job. And so what you're doing is you're controlling. You're controlling your image. You're controlling other people. You're controlling God. You have to because you've taken his spot. I'm pretty sure you do this too. It may look very different from how I do it. But you do this too. So like you may control by giving advice. That may be how you try to control people and your image. You give lots of advice to everyone. Whether they want it or not, you give them advice. The advice isn't really about helping them, like helping them get better. It's about giving you more power. And you may not even realize that that's why you're doing it. But you probably are. Or you may control by withdrawing. Like people want to know you, they want to love you, they want to care for you. But you hold everyone at a distance, and what you're doing is you're controlling them by withdrawing from them. Perhaps you control people with rage and anger. Like you yell, you threaten, you intimidate people with looks, and you scare people into doing what you want. Why can you do that? Because you are God, and this is your world, and it really doesn't matter how you make other people feel, because it's your world. They're just living in it. Or it may be the exact opposite. You might control people by acting helpless. And so you're always like dropping hints on your Facebook page about how bad things are for you and all the struggles that you're having. And really what you're doing is you are playing the victim to keep other people tied to you so you can control them. What's your problem? Just like in Jurassic World, we've all fired God. We've taken his place and we are desperately trying to gain control and stay in control. And we suffer consequences for it, right? Like firing God and taking control, it may start out fine. Yeah, that's how it always starts. But then there's running and screaming, right? There's always consequences. Like we try to control our image, but there's consequences for that. One consequence is that we have to tell bigger and bigger lies, right? We have to generate this bigger-than-life image to impress people so that they'll think we're really something because we're trying to live up to that job description, right? So one day I find myself at a staff meeting saying, yeah, I started working at about 2:30 this morning. I'm up to about 120 hours a week now, you know? Or I'm telling my friend, oh, I'm down to about 90 pounds. This shirt just makes me look a little bigger than I am, right? Another consequence is, of this is if anyone ever tells you that they love you, you can't believe them, right? Because what you're thinking is, you only love the projection. You only love the image I show you. If you knew the real me, you wouldn't love me, right? Another consequence is you end up lonely, right? Because of that, right? Like I'm talking like a chronic, deep-seated loneliness. Like you can feel lonely even if you're surrounded by people who care about you, but you still feel lonely because like controlling just isolates you. And not only lonely, you end up afraid. Right? Because like you have this fear of like, what if they find out? What if they realize I'm not God? What if they see my flaws? Like, that's terrifying. There are also consequences for our relationships. Like if we're trying to control other people, do you know why? Because people don't like to be controlled. It took me a long time to figure that out. Like years before I finally got that. They don't like to be controlled. And so listen, if you are controlling people, people are pulling away from you. I promise. Okay? Some people pull away very passively. Like they don't say anything. They just don't return your calls. Like they're just not with you so much. Or some people just very aggressively will tell you off and walk away, right? Slam doors. But I promise, if you're controlling people, they are pulling away from you. It also has negative consequences on our relationship with God. Because God will not be controlled. Like I try, I'm guessing you might try. God will not be controlled. When we try to control him, what I think he does, I don't know, but I think probably he just lovingly withdraws. It's like, okay, you keep doing that. I'm just going to be waiting for you to give me leadership back in your life. When you're ready, I love you and I'm ready. Here's what I wonder. What do we miss out on while we're controlling and we're working our plan? What do we miss out on that God had in store for us, but we're not living his plan? So you see the problem we have, right? Like, we fire God, we put ourselves right in the middle of our world. We're afraid of losing power or showing people we're not in power, so we control. We control ourselves, we control others, we control God, and it has horrible consequences. Yay! Is everyone glad they came? Are we feeling good about ourselves? Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Guess what? It gets worse. It gets worse. We're not going to get better for a little bit. Here's why. There's two reasons. First, it gets worse because we can't see it. In fact, right now, I bet some of you are thinking, listen, this all might be true for you, Vince, and maybe for these other losers in here, but this is not me. I have not fired God. I'm not controlling myself or others or anyone else. Yeah. See, part of our problem is that we can't see our problem. The Bible talks about this quite a bit. For instance, one verse where the Bible says this is in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's saying, you lie to yourself. You're good at it. You lie to yourself. We all do. There's a t-shirt, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's of a cow, and it's lying on its back with like all four legs up in the air. Rigor mortis has set in, and underneath it says, really? I'm fine. That's denial, and a lot of us live our lives that way every single day. One way that you'll see that you live in denial is if you are constantly blaming other people. Like, if you think about the problems that you've experienced in your life, are they all somebody else's fault? Because if you kind of have that theme, you are living in denial. And it's because you can't see your problem. You can't see what you're doing, right? You can't see that you fired God and are trying to be God of your life. You can't see the consequences of your actions. And so when you see all the things that have happened wrong in your life, it's like, yeah, look at these other people. Our problem gets worse, first, because we can't see it, because we tend to live in denial. And second, because even if we get to a place where we can see it, like we have this, oh, I see it, I see what I'm doing, still, we're powerless to stop it. We're powerless to stop it. If you have a Bible with you today, open to the book called Ephesians in the Bible. The Bible's made up of 66 different books, and one of the books of the New Testament is called Ephesians because it was written to people who lived in Ephesus. If you don't have a Bible with you, that is no problem. We put all the verses on the screen, so you can just read it off there. If you don't own a Bible, we give out easy-to-read translations of the Bible back at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. You can grab a Bible on your way out. Another thing you can do, by the way, at the Velcro Bar today is you can register for Happy Hour. If you're kind of new around Verve and maybe you're feeling like you like it, but you're feeling maybe a little bit lost, like, what do I do next? And you know, I want to grow. I want to get connected. What do I do? Happy Hour happens about once a month, and it happens right after second service on Sundays and our Monday night service as well. It's food, which is good. Not like KFC, like taste tester food, but it's good food. And we kind of like lay out Verve and say, hey, if you're new, here's like next steps you can take. If you want to grow spiritually, here's some good things we've got for you. If you want to get connected with other people, here's some things we've got. Totally encourage you. If you've never been to Happy Hour, check that out next week. You can register today at the Velcro Bar or on your Verve app if you've downloaded the Verve app. So the second problem, our problem gets worse because we're powerless to stop it, even if we see it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It says, you were dead. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but dead people don't have a lot of power. You know, they don't run very fast. They don't lift very much. Dead people just don't have a lot of power. And the Bible says that we are powerless in a very real sense. What it's saying is you're powerless over this sin problem, this idea that you fired God and you're trying to be God. You're powerless over it. Now, here's what's really interesting, okay? Christians are people who have said to God at some point in their life, God, I am incapable of taking care of my sin problem, okay? That's what Christianity is all about. You say to God, I am incapable of taking care of my sin problem, so I am trusting Jesus to take the penalty of my sins for me. And when we admit that, when we admit that we are powerless, and in faith, we ask God to rescue us, he does. He loves us, and he gladly does that. Look at just a couple verses later in the same chapter. Here's what the Bible says in verses 4 and 5. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he doesn't want to judge, he doesn't want to condemn, he wants to be merciful, made us alive. We were dead, but he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace means to get the opposite of what you deserve. God loves you, he doesn't care what you've done, he wants to save you. That's good news. Verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That is the story of every single real Christian. Like every authentic Christian has had a point in their life, this is what it means to become a Christian, where they recognized, I have a sin problem. I am powerless over my sin problem. And so I am putting my faith in Jesus to rescue me. Okay? Here's what's interesting. Here's the problem. Many people, probably some of us, admitted at some point that we're incapable of taking care of our sin problem, but then every single day we say, God, I am perfectly capable of taking care of myself. Thank you. Thank you very much. We say yes to God and give him control of our lives concerning our eternities, but as far as the here and now is concerned, on a daily basis we fire God and take over our own lives. And if you don't believe that's true for you, okay, if you're like, no, I accepted Jesus, I did that whole thing, but I don't fire God, here's a very clarifying question. Do you ever worry? Do you ever worry? You find yourself worrying about something sometimes? Because Jesus said that anyone who has God as their father would never need to worry, wouldn't worry. Only someone who is God of their own lives, who doesn't have a God to be in control, would worry. Because that person's still in control, right? But if you have a God, you would never worry. So we all have this problem. We all fire God, and we all take control, and we're all woefully underqualified for the job. It just ain't working for us. So, what is the solution? How do you stop the running and the screaming? Well, you've got to kill the dinosaur, right? You've got to kill the dinosaur, and you're the dinosaur. You're the dinosaur. That's why the Bible says a lot, this idea that if you want to follow Jesus, first you have to die to yourself. It's like this theme over and over. The Bible says, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, first, you have to die to yourself. There's a guy named Paul. He was one of the original Christians, kind of a mover and shaker. And he talked about what it meant for him, what it looked like for him to say yes to Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. So what it meant for me to say yes to Jesus was to die to myself. And so the idea is we die to being God of our lives. Right? We quit being God and we give God back his job. Now, I think that process starts with admitting it, admitting that you have a problem. Like, you can't solve a problem that you don't see or admit that you have. And so I wonder if maybe today you can admit that you have fired God and have been trying to play God. Maybe for some people in this room, you've just never had a moment in your life where you put your faith in God. You've never had a time where you said, man, I need Jesus because I can't take care of my sin problem. And maybe today, maybe for the first time, you could admit that you are powerless over your sin problem and that you need Jesus to save you. And by the way, if you are thinking, maybe that is where I'm at, I'd love to talk to you. We've got people at the Velcro Bar after the service. We'd love to talk to you about that. Or maybe some of us say, no, I've done that. I did that. I was 16 years old. It was 3 months ago. I've done that. I said yes to Jesus. I knew I have. Sin problem. I said that. But maybe today you're realizing that you're still trying to play God and still worrying about your life because you can't play God. And maybe today you could admit that and you could ask God to take over your life, not your eternity, but today. And then tomorrow you fire yourself, you put God back in, and tomorrow you do it again. And the next day you do it again. It starts with admitting it, and then just day by day giving control to God. And here's what I want to leave you with. Like, you really want to do that? Like in your heart, don't. I wonder if you know you want to do that, because we think we want to be in control, right? Like I want to be in control, that because that makes me feel secure and empowered. It doesn't, right? What being in control makes us feel is stressed out, and it leads us to worry. Think about this. When in your life were you the most carefree and happy? When in your life were you the most worry-free, just carefree and happy? Here's my guess. If you grew up in a stable, loving home, and I didn't, a lot of us didn't, but some of us did, it was when you were a kid, right? That's what. Why? Because someone else was taking care of you, right? You didn't have to worry about things because you had these great parents who were taking care of you. You weren't in control. Someone else was, and that was kind of awesome. And that's what God is offering you. Like, that's the offer God is making. He is a loving and perfect Father who wants to take care of you, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him. And when you do, when you give Him control, that's when you get to experience the carefree joy that's usually only reserved for kids. You know, thinking about when my family went to watch Jurassic World and got some popcorn and watching the movie, it's just kind of fun because you're scared, right? Like, you know it's coming and then whatever. And it really, like, you end up pooping your pants. I pooped my pants. But you just kind of feel like a kid again, right? I think that's the fun. It's like, for 2 hours, I don't have to be an adult, right? For 2 hours, I don't have to worry about my job and our finances and my marriage and my kids. For 2 hours, I can just be a kid again and watch dinosaurs eat people, right? And here's what I think. I think that's what we all want. I think we all want to feel like kids again in that kind of way. And when we trust God and give Him control and know that we have a perfect, loving Father, we get to be His kids. So let's pray for that right now. Let's pray. God, I'm just going to assume this is hard for a lot of us, because it's really hard for me. It's much easier for me to talk about it than to on a daily basis decide, okay, here's another day. Who's in charge? God, You are. I'm going to trust You. I got things I need to do. I realize that, but You're ultimately responsible. I'm going to trust You. So God, would You help us? Would You help us to make this decision? Maybe some of us have never said yes to You as their Father, never admitted we have a sin problem. Maybe today, we never came here thinking this is going to be my big day, but maybe today's the big day. And if somebody's feeling that way, I hope they'll let somebody know before they leave or put it on their connection card. Probably some of us, God, maybe a lot of us, we've had that big day. We said yes to You. We gave our lives to You. We started a relationship with You. But the truth is, every morning we fire You again, and we're like, I have to be in charge today. So God, would You help us to move into a place of a childlike faith where we trust You. We do what we need to do, but ultimately we trust You. Help us to kill the dinosaur. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.